Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, I want to start in on Red Letters tonight, and I have just a very simple message because we start next week, but I want to kind of, you know, tantalize the taste buds. I want you to go to Luke chapter 22, verse 20, and I want to give you a little bit of history. I need my board over here. So while you're going to Luke chapter 22, verse 20, thank you. I'm going to show you a little bit of a piece of history you may not know of. Let me get over here right there with you. Everybody ready? Say amen. Luke chapter 22, verse 20. I love studying. You don't want to miss Sunday morning. Listen, I cannot wait to preach Sunday morning. We're going to get in the teachings of Jesus about the people he encountered and going to look at the people he encountered. It's going to be unbelievable, and I believe God's going to continue to touch in the altars like he did last week. 22 and 20. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out to you." That scripture, ladies and gentlemen, is the scripture in the 1800s, 1899 to be exact, where a guy named Lewis Klopps was reading the Bible, and he noticed that it talked about this cup in the color red. And the color red came to him on June the 19th, 1899. He was actually an editor of a famous Christian magazine called the Christian Herald magazine. And he went to one of his mentors and said, "What do you think if we were to take the Bible and every word that Jesus used, we turn it into the color red as the symbol of communion, as the symbol of the blood of Jesus?" And the guy said, "Well, this is the exact words of his mentor. It can't hurt." It actually is the number one purchased Bible amongst Americans in the King James Version. And it's actually fascinating because on June the 19th, the first copy of the Bible where Jesus' words were written in red are there. Now, let me give you a little preview from last Sunday in case you forgot. There's 1,854 words in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that are in red. There's 341 verses, excuse me, that has nothing to do with doctrine, which means there's 1,513 red verses that deals with instruction, where God is instructing us. When you look at the book of Matthew, 1,071 of these 1,015 verses are actually in the book of Matthew. So 55% of all of the red letters of Jesus are actually in the book of Matthew. Now, here's what I want to set up. It's going to be kind of different, but I believe it's going to help somebody. The Lord laid on my heart in November to start a 40-day fast. And I didn't really understand, and I'm not one of these people who always wants to see a boogeyman behind a bush or try to over-spiritualize the number three. You go eat Chinese food, you get to number three, "Oh, God's speaking to me." No, I'm not in on that stuff. But the Bible does use numbers, most certainly. Number eight is a symbol of Jesus because it's also the symbol of heaven. In Judaism, seven is the number of completion. There's a lot of truth to all of that. But God spoke to me and told me a 40-day fast. And I said, "God, okay, all right." And I knew that things were going to break for our church and for me and my own life and some things I need God to do in 2019. I'm very aware and have always been very aware of the last 3 years of this church where we went and buried 32 people. Right after God gave us the message that if I were to lay the head of Goliath at your feet, would you serve me? I had no idea that when God asked us a question dealing with prosperity, that a test of the greatest magnitude would follow. We had a lot of collateral damage from people who don't serve God anymore because God took their loved ones. People who are alcoholics because they could not take that kind of death. It was 32 of the most bone-crushing experiences, and it literally to the week, John Mark, happened in this church from October to October. Literally, LaDonna. I just have never seen nothing like it in all the years of ministry. And so God spoke to me. You have that year, and then you have a year of a healing, which was last year for us. And God just spoke to me and said, 2019 is going to be a year of where I'm going to start promoting. I'm going to start blessing. I'm going to return the favor. I'm going to end the battle. I'm going to stop the test. And I knew God was speaking that to me about you and about me and about us and about our church. I know it. I know it as sure as I know my name's Michael. How many of you feel like you've been through a test in the last 3 years? Can I see your hands? Now, let me explain something to you. This may seem extremely simple, and that's a good place to start out because we start next week on red letters. But when it comes to the red letters, there's a red letter in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, and I want to take you there. So go to Matthew chapter 4 and start at verse 1. Now, very, very familiar passage of Scripture, but I just want you to notice something. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil after he had fasted. This is probably close to Qumran, where the Qumran community wrote the Dead Sea Scrolls. If you were go to Israel, if you're going to Israel with me in April, this is where he was tempted. It's pretty close to that. Matter of fact, if you look at the right direction, you'll probably see the same mountain that legend and historical facts kind of say where he was. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, stop right there. God spoke to me in December in the middle of a fast and told me, go study the number 40. Spoke to me as clear as I hear my voice speaking right now. And I said, go speak the number 40. Well, what's that got to do with it? I've never studied that. And it was interesting because when I found out what the number 40 meant, I understood what God was saying to me and what he wants to say to you tonight. Here's what I know as your shepherd. Your trial and your temptations and your season of testing is about to end. And 2019 is going to bring the end of that. I would encourage you to look at the number 40 in your life and maybe fast 40 days or let the Holy Spirit lead you when it comes to the number 40. And here's the reason why. Number one, when you see the number 40 in the Bible, whether it's Genesis, Micah, Matthew, or Revelations, it doesn't matter. Whether it's Matthew chapter 4, and you got to notice, here's Jesus getting ready to start his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, starting his ministry. Before he starts his ministry and he goes to the Sermon on the Mount, what happens? The Bible says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And he was tested. Notice the words in Matthew 4. After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Notice the number 40. 40 days and 40 nights. Listen, you got to be careful, but I'm telling you, we're on great hermeneutical ground tonight. He was hungry, and then the tempter approached him. And so what you find is that Jesus is getting ready to change the world. He's getting ready to do something big for God. God's getting ready to move for people like he'd never moved before. And this move of God, this new season in someone's life, was preceded by 40 days of fasting and 40 nights of fasting. It was preceded by the number 40. Now, let's take that subject in the red letters of Jesus where he is tested for 40 days and 40 nights. And let's go through the Bible and see if we can't line up if this really means something to us. And I don't want to get super spooky, but I want you to really look in your own life of what you've been going through and what you've been enduring and what you've been praying for and the breakthrough you've been wanting. And I want to see if the Holy Spirit will speak to you this week and use that number 40 in a way to let you know that God's about to break something in your life. Now watch this. When you look at 40, it always appears in the Bible as the end of judgment or the end of a trial or a period of testing. The number 40 actually is a symbol of probation. It is a symbol of probation or a trial where God has his people on probation. He has them on a trial to test them. How many of you know God can test you? Now, God doesn't tempt you with evil. No. But God will test you. And he will test you to bring you a blessing in your life. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody. Now, take a look at this. Now, write this down. Genesis chapter 7, verse 12. It's interesting. How long was Noah in the ark? 40 days. How long did it rain? 40 days and 40 nights. It was a test. Now go to Acts chapter 7 verse 30 and take a good look at what the Bible says about Moses during the desert time in Midian. If you don't know the story, Moses kills an Egyptian because he was beating a Hebrew. Moses runs off into the desert in Midian and he flees to Midian and he lives in the desert for how long? 40, how long? 40 years. He lives in the desert for 40 years. Acts 7 and 30. And then he comes out. Now go to Deuteronomy or write down Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 18. When Israel, Moses is interceding for Israel for a breakthrough. And he's saying to God, I need a breakthrough for Israel. How long did the intercession last for Moses? 40 days of intercession. Go to Exodus chapter 24 verse 18 and look at where Moses is up on Mount Sinai dealing with God about breaking through and answering my prayer and bringing Israel to where it needs to be. How long was he there? 40 days and 40 nights. Go to Numbers chapter 13 verse 25 and notice where Israel is at the precipice of conquering Canaan land and about to enter into the promised land. And so they send out spies at the very end of getting ready to enter into Canaan land, to enter into the promised land that God had promised Abraham. And at that point, how long was that where the spies were out looking for Canaan land? 40 days. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 16 and you look at where Goliath is mocking the armies of God and the armies of Saul. He's mocking them. He's saying, and it's what's interesting. Let me give you a little bit of history here that most people don't know. We brought it up in our Hebrew Bible class tonight. When they would fight wars, and it's in the book of Lethal Faith also, when they would fight wars back in the time of Israel, they didn't always take the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistines and clash together in hand-to-hand combat because they were smarter than that. They knew that the loss of life would endanger the entire city and the population. So what they would do in the Old Testament times during this Middle Bronze Age of Goliath and David is that they would send one person out from the army and send another person out from the army. And those two people would fight. And whoever won between the two people would win the war. And so that's really what's going on with David and Goliath. So when Goliath is mocking the children of Israel. Now you got to realize what happens when David defeats Goliath. The children of David begins to assume the throne. He begins to get the favor God has always asked in his life. He began to rise with the favor of God. How many of you want the favor of God? Let me tell you, the favor of God is going to touch you in 2019. That I believe because of the testing and the trials. But when you look at Goliath and how long he mocked David and the armies of Saul, it was 40 days. 40 days he mocked them. Well, you go to 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 8. And take a good look. And you look at Elijah and how he fled from Jezebel. And how far he traveled. How far did Elijah travel to get rid away from Jezebel? How many of you got some, don't point at nobody. How many of you got some Jezebels you got to get rid of in your life? You got a problem. You got somebody leading you away from God. Somebody that's not a good influence. Well, how long did Elijah run away from Jezebel before he was able to pass his mantle on to Elijah and get ushered up into the heavens? For he put the mantle on someone who had double the anointing he did. What was the breakthrough? What's the common denominator of the breakthrough of Goliath and David? What's the common denominator of the children of Israel and Moses and the enemy? What's the common denominator of Elijah and Jezebel? 1 Kings 19 and 8 says 40 days and 40 nights. So there again, you see this established. Well, let's look at Jesus. And I want you to go here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Everybody go there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Here we are, okay? And when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body which is of you. Do this in remembrance of me." 1 Corinthians chapter, make sure I get on the right place, 11, verse 24. And you see where the body of Jesus was broken. Well, when you compare the fact, and it's also in other places of the Bible, with Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 3, you realize that Jesus was flogged 40 lashes. So in between Jesus dying and resurrecting and then finally bringing a finality to sin because of the blood and freeing us all by reconciliation, what stood in the way of Jesus and the crucifixion and success and favor in his life? It was 40 days, 40 lashes in this case. Because he said 40 lashes but one is what Paul says. Now, the word 40 is actually used 159 times in the Bible. And that's a big deal. That's a real big deal. And when you look at it, you understand that there are 40 chapters to the book of Exodus. Exodus is the story of where God's children are coming out of bondage and going to Canaan and the promised land and finally seeing what God has always promised them since the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is the finality of where God says this is the final moment of the test. This is the last probation period for my children. And when you look at it, you see that Exodus has 40 chapters. Well, when you go to the temple and you actually look at 1 Kings chapter 7, verse 38, you find that there were 10 lavaliers in the temples with 40 different baths of water. So even the temple carries the number 40 as it relates to replenishing and refreshing with water. You see it very carefully and very clearly there. When you look at David and you look at Solomon and you look at Joash, which is where the kings of Judea, kings of Israel, you realize that David reigned for 40 years. Solomon reigned for 40 years. And Joash reigned for 40 years. These three people, these three kings, brought tremendous change to the children of Israel, to the people of Israel. Matter of fact, they were the ones that established the concept of an ethnicity called Judaism. It was 40 years that David reigned, and 40 years that Solomon reigned, and 40 years that Joash reigned. When you look a little deeper, you begin to realize that the average pregnancy in a woman's life is about 40 weeks. And there's something that God is saying to us prophetically tonight, and prophetically in this church, and prophetically in your situation. That when you see the number 40 begin to pop up in your life, or God leads you into a 40-day fast, or you begin to notice that you're the Holy Spirit is dealing with you about that kind of stuff, then you begin to realize that God is getting ready to give birth to something new in you. God is getting ready to take your enemy and absolutely destroy him, and you are going to see the relief you've been praying for. And I want to tell you, if you want a breakthrough, I would encourage you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit if it would be His will, and I would fast for 40 days for a breakthrough. I don't know, I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking prophetically to somebody. If I'm not talking to anybody else, I'm talking to myself, and I'm preaching myself happy tonight. How many of you need a breakthrough where favor arises, where you finally see the completion of the test, where you pass probation, where you go on and you see the miracle of God? Somebody shout amen in this place.
It's possible, ladies and gentlemen, you are never going to convince me that God is coming back for an anemic church. You're never going to convince me that God is only going to move in the east, but that God is going to move in the west again. He's not coming back with a church that doesn't know who it is. He's not coming back for a church that barely gets by. He's not coming back for a church. He's coming back during a dark world, that I can assure you. But one of the things that I believe with everything in my heart, for those of us who trust the Lord and those of us that are good tithers and faithful to God, I don't care if bread goes to $35 a loaf, we'll have more bread than a sinner will, because our God will never forsake us. Our God is never going to let us down. We may not be running around in a Mercedes, but blessed be the name of God, we're going to have everything we need, and it will be to the point that the world will look into the church and say, you know what? That life really does make a difference. Oh, don't patty cake. Give God praise in this place. So when you understand that an average pregnancy is 40 weeks, I mean, that gets my attention. 40 weeks before you give birth to what you've been praying for years. 40 days before you see your breakthrough. 40 days and nights before God breaks the hand of the enemy that's been coming against you. It's really about 40 days before favor arrives. 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 whatever. That number 40 is a prophetic number where God is saying to you, you are now at the end of the probation period. You are now at the end of where the test is going to be sewed up, and there's not going to be a test on top of a test, because there'll be more tests, don't get me wrong. But what you have to understand is that every child of God that hangs on and that does not quit and squares their shoulders back and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Every single one of us that stays in the battle and on the potter's wheel, there is going to come a day of reckoning, and God is going to end the test, and he's going to stop the probation period if we pass it successfully. And on the other end of a probation period is going to be coming out of the desert, Moses. On the other end of the probation period is going to be coming out of Egypt, headed to the promised land. On the other end of the probation period is where the spies will spy their last time. And what God has been promising you about the deliverance of your children, about the job you've always wanted, about the marriage you dream of, God says, I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. Hang on, because God is wanting to prosper you in 2019. The number 40 starts a new chapter in the Bible. The number 40 is actually the number that the Bible uses for a generation. The number 40, it was 40 days after the birth of Jesus that he was presented in the temple. The number 40 is a test. The number 40 is a progression of staying faithful to God when you don't want to stay faithful and don't feel like staying faithful. And you've stayed faithful and you say, God, why haven't you broke through for me yet? How come you haven't answered me yet? How come you haven't arrived yet? Let me tell you something. Everybody has to go through trials. If you don't believe me, read Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12. But I'm also here to tell you that there comes an end to the trial and the testing and the probation period. And there comes an end to it because God says that when you see that number 40 popping up in your life, or the Holy Spirit leads you to fast for 40 days, or you do whatever, you see that number in the Bible and in your Bible studies and in your prayer time, you can rest assured God is getting ready to promote you out of the test into the season of favor in your life. It was 40 days that separated the resurrection from the ascension. 40 days. Jesus came out of the tomb, and 40 days later, he ascended up into heaven. There's 40 days that you had to go through what you had to go through, and finally you made it through it. We buried 32 people. We've had setback after setback as a church. We've done everything. We were faithful like Joseph in the land of affliction. And many of you have been faithful to God in the land of affliction for the last 3 years. But I got news for you. Your moment of
testing is about to end and your moment of favor is about to arrive if you continue to believe and continue to be faithful in the land of affliction like Joseph did. However, after the crucifixion, after you buried your brother, after you have lost your job and you still serve God, after your wife ran off and left you and you're still serving God, after you made it through what you swore would kill you and that you could never make it through, 40 days from that point, 40 days from that point, you will move from the resurrection to the ascension of God in your life if you hang on. 40 days after you should have died when somebody tried to beat the snot out of you as a woman. 40 days, you watch it, and you watch God break through something in your life. 40 days after you sowed a seed. I sow seeds every Sunday. It ain't a lot, but I sow it every Sunday on top of my tithes, and I name my seed. You say, Pastor Michael, you believe in that? You better bet I believe in that. 40 days separated the resurrection from the ascension, Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 3. How long did Jesus preach? Matthew chapter 4, he's tempted. How long was the preaching time of Jesus? 40 months. 40 months from the time Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." For the time he cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" 40 months. How long was it after the crucifixion that Jerusalem was taken and Jerusalem was destroyed and the Judaic temple sacrifices of bloods and lambs were completely destroyed? 40 years. Jesus was crucified, ascended into heaven, and from that point until the time that the Romans destroyed Jerusalem was 40 years. It's where Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Not one stone upon the other shall be here on top of each other at the coming of the Son of Man." It's 40. How long were the disciples seated with Jesus according to Acts chapter 1 verse 2? 40 days. 40 days that he taught his disciples before he ascended. 40 days he spoke into their life. And I said, "I know you wanted to give up, Thomas, but aren't you glad you put your hand in the hole in my hand?" 40 days, Peter, the rooster crowed, but you didn't quit on God. You cursed God and you ran from me and you denied me. But then all of a sudden, look at the power God is going to bestow upon you at the day of Pentecost. But you're still here, Peter. 40 days he dealt with Nathanael. You know, I love that scripture about Nathanael and the disciples. Nathanael, when he was calling Nathanael to be a disciple, Nathanael said, "What good can come out of Nazareth? You want me to, Andrew, to go follow this guy from Nazareth? What good comes out of Nazareth?" But it's an amazing thing, he went anyway. And you know what's so fascinating? When he got and he met Jesus, Jesus said, "Nathanael, I saw you underneath a tree." And Nathanael looks back at him and says, "You must be the Son of the living God." I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm not really a nosy person, but I want to know what he told Nathanael, what he said, what he saw Nathanael do. Because whatever Nathanael was doing, he was doing it in secret and he didn't think anybody saw him. And Jesus said, "I saw you underneath the tree, Nathanael." Nathanael said, "You surely must be the Son of God." 40 days he dealt with the disciples. 40 days after the resurrection. When you look at it, you see that there are 40 different authors that make up the Word of God called the Bible. 40 of them. You see there are 40 40 repetitions in the Bible of two specific epic stories. When you look at numerology in the Bible, you have to realize that the Greek and the Hebrew doesn't have numbers. They spell it out like O-N-E, like we would in English. There isn't any number for 40 in Hebrew. There isn't a number in Greek for 40 or 7 or 3 or 9 or 21 or 22. that doesn't exist. But when you look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, you see that Jesus went through a testing for 40 days. And that the testing immediately followed his baptism. When God is getting ready to promote you, and God is getting ready to do something fresh and new in your life, you can expect a test. But you can also expect that God will speak to you and show you that that test is not going to last forever. And when you see God leading you in your Bible studies or leading you into a 40-day fast, that you are saying to God, I realize in my spirit that what I've been fighting for is about to end and probation is over. I don't know who I'm talking to, but probation is about to end in someone's life. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the test is coming to a conclusion. You got to stay faithful to God. And I would encourage you, I'm not telling you to, I would encourage you to ask the Lord, would you like me to fast for 40 days? And if he tells you yes, then I can assure you the end of your test is about to come to a conclusion. And he's about to break whatever has been trying to break you, and you will get the victory in the name of Jesus. Anybody got anything out of this? Yeah, give God a hand clap of praise if you don't mind. I got a lot more, but I'm out of time. So I'll meet you here next week with that same kind of thought in the red letters. You know, if you need a test to end and you've been faithful, lift your hand up and begin to just ask God to touch you right now. You ask God, Lord, is it my time to get off probation? Is it my time, God? Kurios, in the Greek. Is it my time, God, the specific time for the walls of Jericho to fall? Is it my time for my breakthrough, for my promotion, for favor to come to me again? Is it my time, God? You want me to fast 40 days? You want me to fast 40 things? God, what do you want me to do? If you'll speak to me right now, I will obey you. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but let me tell you as your shepherd. Number one, I can assure you as a church that the time of testing is ending and the time of probation has come to a conclusion and favor, Joseph, is about to hit you. I can tell you as a church, that is the will of God for this church. That now you're going to have to answer the question, if I laid the head of Goliath at your feet, would you serve me? He's really asking, do you need a trial to serve me with fervency? Do you need a trial to cause you to tithe? I know that is a word from God as well as I know anything I've ever said in 18 years in this pulpit. I can tell it because 30 souls were saved before Sunday, and then Sunday at 9, 4 more were saved, and Sunday at 10:45, another 8 gave their life to Christ. Somebody say amen. I know it through the season that this is the 4th year since God spoke to us. We went through hell. And then God used a year to heal us, and now a year to end the probation and say, it's time to go to the promised land. God, when he speaks like that to a congregation, he also speaks to that as an individual. While we are a corporate body and a corporate community, we're also individuals with different situations and different trials and tribulations and different successes and different seasons. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know I'm talking to somebody tonight, and you are at the end of your probation period. How many of you receive that? Let me just see it. Hey, me too. Heavenly Father, I bless them. Won't you lift your hands and let me bless you? Let me get to Numbers. Father, I bless the men with the blessings of Ephraim and Manasseh. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless the ladies with the blessings of Rachel, Rebecca, and Leah. I pray, God, that you bless everyone. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord protect you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and may the Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look with you with favor upon you. And may the Lord give you the peace of shalom. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Invite somebody Sunday, and you're going to go with me, and we're going to encounter the people that Jesus encountered. Leave this building, go up, down, in, and out. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.